to spend time with theater, as we love to do on Wednesdays, and a double bill, which is a good sign that the theater scene is wakening up from the Christmas break. And it is the play Cactus Flower opening at Spokane Civic Theater. It opens this Friday night, and it's Friday and Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, and then the following two weekends, it's Thursday through Sunday sequence in the regular times, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, and then Sunday matinees, which are at 2 o'clock. And so let's jump right into it and begin with the person on whose shoulders rests the play, Jessica Loomer. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
Cactus Flower, of which I know nothing, and we're all about to get to know about something about Cactus Flower. When you signed on to be the director of this, what did you know about this play?
I actually was sent a couple of plays to consider, and so my first interaction was reading the play, and I thought it was great fun. It has some hilarious parts, and so I was really drawn toward that particular play, and I was lucky enough to get my first choice. Mm-hmm. So I got to direct Cactus Flower, and I think you'll hear with the scene today that it just really comes alive with the great cast that we have.
Mm-hmm. Well, about the play itself, it's always the unfair thing is to put a word on it. I mean, it's a comedy, I presume.
Yes, it is.
Is it a farce or not?
It's been described as a farce at times. It's not a true farce. It definitely has farcical moments that'll make you laugh out loud. But the way I like to describe it is as a situational comedy masquerading as a farce. Mm-hmm. So we have a few door-slamming moments, but it's not true in that nature. But you'll definitely get a laugh.
And what's its background? How long has Cactus Flower been around?
It was written in 1965 by Abe Burrows, and we have it actually set in 1967 for our production. So some great music of the 60s, fun colors, fun, you know, hair, makeup, the whole nine yards. Yeah. It's timeless in some ways. You can relate to it, and there's definitely things that are dated. You'll see, oh, I can see that was written in the 60s. Yeah. But.
But I assume there's issues. The human condition never changes.
Absolutely.
And in many ways. So we're about to hear from a scene, but describe who the main characters are.
Sure.
Relative to this scene, the two that we have and the one that's looking over their shoulders.
Yes, the main character is Dr. Julian Winston. He is a bachelor dentist, and the other wonderful lady we have here today for the scene is his dental assistant, Stephanie. She's our leading lady. And so I think the premise of this story is Dr. Winston, the perpetual bachelor, has told his girlfriend, Tony, a younger woman, that he is married so that he can keep her at arm's length. And so when he actually does propose to Tony, which happens in quite a fun way, she says she will only marry him if she can meet his wife and make sure the wife is going to be okay. So that's what ends up happening. He loops in his dental assistant to play his wife. And it just gets crazier and more exciting rolling downhill from there.
And here we let's go right to a scene with Dave Rideout as Dr. Winston and Jennifer Miles as his employee and assistant. And in this case, the scene will tell it. Let's go right to the scene.
You listen to me.
No, you listen to me. You asked me to pose as your wife. It was ridiculous, but I did it, and I think I did it beautifully.
The trouble was, you did it too beautifully. Tony thinks you're still in love with me.
Me?
Not you, my wife.
Where would she get a ridiculous notion like that?
From you!
Nonsense! My behavior was impeccable. I was a dignified, civilized, willing to be divorced wife. I said nothing that would lead Tony to...
It wasn't what you said. It was what you didn't say.
There was nothing I didn't say.
Well, you got it all choked up, the way you talked about my shirts and those chicken and egg sandwiches.
I was playing a part, and I wanted to play it right. I couldn't very well take my situation lightly. A divorce is a very serious thing, especially when there are children. By the way, you might have told me I had children.
Well, why did you have to bring them along? She saw you with them, and that choked her up, too.
It was my day off. I always take my nephews out on my day off. There was no necessity for your fiancé to spy on me, and really, if I can't spend my day off as I see fit... Doctor, I'm giving you my 2 weeks' notice right now.
Miss Dickinson, you know I can't get along without you.
Of course I do.
a scene from Cactus Flower with the dentist and his assistant, and clearly the conflict that's going to come out of a lie. A lie is always a good way to start any problem. I think what we should do, we have Jennifer Miles playing Stephanie, and we have Jessica Loomer as the director. I think we should gang up on Dr. Winston.
Oh, great.
And let's start with the fact, is he a jerk? Meaning that he has this girlfriend, but he kind of is proposing to her, but then there's kind of this whole thing and this deception and everything. Are his motives good or not?
I think his motives are definitely selfish. And, you know, I think with this story, as with any good comedy, you have real people, and we're showcasing that. But people are nuanced, you know. Mm-hmm. They have good sides and bad sides, and I definitely think that Julian encompasses both. Mm-hmm. So he has some selfish motives, but then there's also growth throughout the story. Mm-hmm. And you get to see how his actions come back to bite him, and you get to see how he turns around and reacts to that as well.
Okay, and Jennifer, mm-hmm. as Stephanie, you're the one that's bearing the brunt of some of his deception.
I think some of his behavior is very jerkish, yes, but I think he's multifaceted. I think that he is conflicted and struggling with decisions. And what we don't see in the play is the 10 years that Stephanie has worked for him before the play opens, and there's a very nuanced relationship that has developed between them during those 10 years. So some of the behavior that is selfishly driven, I think Stephanie sees past that and sees a man underneath all of that.
Yeah, and I'm going to opine, and then we'll give it to Dave. It's always that fascinating thing of the intensity of the workplace, mm-hmm. and frankly, the cliche of the doctors and nurses and relationships and working together for 10 years in, let's use the word intimate, just because of the personal thing. There is going to be some of that's built into the situation. Mm-hmm. Now that we've set up this whole thing, and Dave, and I know that you do pay really close attention to who your characters are. You want care to defend Julian at all?
Well, I think as with most human beings, we think our motives are pure. We try to figure out the situation that's in front of us and try to do what we think is best. And sometimes we even think we're trying to do what's best for other people. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've tried to find in Julian. And of course, you know, the first time I read this, that's what I'm confronted with, is Julian is lying. And that is difficult to embrace, because we do like to feel like we're honest, truthful people, even though I'll admit I'm not always honest and truthful as much as I should be. But that's the kind of conflict that Julian's facing. And so I have tried to bring myself to Julian in a lot of ways. And for me internally, I'm able to find places that are real, because it's difficult to feel like, oh, I have to play a jerk here. Mm-hmm. I can't do that as an actor. Right. I have to find something that justifies mm-hmm. what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I believe I'm finding a lot. And that's part of the joy of this for me. The discovery process is finding areas where I can go, oh, that's what he's trying to do here. Or that's what works for me, and maybe I can make that work for Julian on stage. And it's a work in progress throughout. Mm-hmm. Actually, I mean, Jessica won't want to know this too much, but all the way through till closing night, I'll be trying to find little moments of truth.
Sure.
And that's
I appreciate that as a director.
You know, but the bulk of that happens during rehearsal. Mm-hmm. But now we're getting to the point where we open on Friday. 7:30 Friday night.
be there.
And we open on Friday, and we're 80-90% of my work is done now. Mm-hmm. But that's the part that I love about theater, is for me as an actor, it's the rehearsal process and working with the character and working with the other characters, and we become this family that cares about each other, even though on stage we're playing these characters who don't always do a great job of caring about each other.
Yeah. And so we've kind of focused on Julian, on your character, and some of the implication of how you're going to change possibly and develop and grow. What about you, Jennifer and Stephanie? Is she, from a theatrical point of view, the enabler who allows the plot to go forward, or Or do you have... Does your character change and grow in ways that illuminates the human condition?
My character changes and grows in ways that have been so challenging for me to discover and work through, and also so relatable to my life, which has been a fascinating process for me. I don't know if I've ever played a character to whom I can relate so well personally. Stephanie, I do not see her as an enabler at all. She is a very honest, moral person who has a keen sense of right and wrong and her role in the world, and she's determined to play it properly. Her weak spot is her affection for Julian Winston, which maybe she doesn't even realize so much. But the only reason that Stephanie is willing to bend her very clear right and wrong view of the world is to help this man. So that puts her in a very conflicted spot where she's making decisions she never would have chosen to make on her own. And that's been very fun to explore and try to discover the nuances of what would go into creating those decisions. And so then the process that my character gets to go through is a self-discovery as she puts herself into situations that she's carefully shielded herself from for years and suddenly begins to grow and discover a whole person inside her who is just waiting for the freedom.
Yeah. And now Tony, the girlfriend who is kind of the third member of this triangle, is she, who's not here today to defend herself, is kind of the same question. Is she mostly exist in this play to keep the plot moving, or is she also a significant character to whom we can, you know, sympathize?
Well, if I can speak to that, since
please.
She does play my girlfriend.
Okay, stick up for your girlfriend.
I see her as a really fully realized character who drives her own plot and character development.
Yes.
I mean, she's got a real sweetness to her, even though, I mean, the premise is that she thinks she's having an affair with a married man, so that's got to be a difficult right. challenge for her to get over. But there is a sweetness to that character that she cares that she doesn't want Julian's wife to be kicked out on the street and be left in the cold. She wants to make sure that Julian's wife really does want a divorce. And so it's real interesting to see that character's development and her character arc all the way through.
And absolutely. I would say there's a sweet sincerity to Tony's character that leads to a very fascinating, friendly relationship between Tony and Stephanie, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah. It is. Mm-hmm. Well, and to see that develop as further plot points come down the line, and to see really how Tony reacts to both what she's learned there, I don't want to give too much away, but also to these characters and how her views, you know, maybe change and how she grows up a little bit as well, because the character is 21. Mm-hmm. So she's definitely in this interesting relationship with an older man. And I think she does a lot of growth in her own individuality and becoming her own person, too.
Now, is the age issue, which is, of course, another famous situation.
What do you mean? What are you saying, Vern?
Is that something that you think was really wanted to be brought out in 1960s when this was written? And is that one of the central tensions, too, about the age difference? Or is that just incidental?
I think that was purposeful. They definitely have some commentary throughout the show about when an older man is with a younger woman and how maybe it looks different on different people.
What do you mean? It looks entirely appropriate.
Maybe that's one of the lines. So I definitely think there's purposeful commentary on that situation. And that's part of the situational comedy that happens is these characters in, you know, a somewhat taboo relationship, let alone that it's even more taboo in the sense that she thinks he's married. And that's not something that would be, of course, approved of even in nowadays, let alone the 60s. Mm-hmm. So I think there's lots of great different themes and storylines that are pulled out in this story, let alone just the funny farce side. Mm-hmm. It's real. Mm-hmm. It's real people. And that's what makes it relatable in these relationships that happen.
Cactus Flower, which opens Friday at Spokane Civic Theater on the main stage, Friday and Saturday night, 7:30, and then Sunday afternoon at 2, then Thursday through Sunday the following 2 weeks. Earlier, Jennifer, you were saying how this character has really been challenging and interesting and intersection with your own life. Tell us a little bit about your own theatrical life. Oh. And personal, if you care.
I've loved acting since I was a teenager, and I've been privileged to act in several local theaters. This is my first experience at Spokane Civic Theater, so that's been a real thrill and a lot of fun, working with a phenomenal cast as well. I have a lot of musical theater background, so it's kind of nice to take a break from singing right now in the winter because our voices all get shot by the weather. And then in my personal life, I have four beautiful daughters. My husband and I have been married for 12 years, and I get to stay home with our girls and homeschool them. So that keeps me fairly busy during the day.
Yeah, it certainly would, and yet your husband is making sure he's available every evening, I assume,
he
so that you can
wonderful.
run off to the theater.
He is pulling the lion's share of everything right now. Yeah, very appreciative.
And Jessica, talk a little bit about some of your other theatrical things, because I've certainly encountered you here before.
Yes. My experience with Spokane Civic Theater, I've done a few different assistant directing and directing for the Playwrights Forum Festival shorter plays. But this is my first main stage musical as a director. Or not musical. Sorry, just kidding. Jen said musical. Got in my brain.
Surprise.
Well, no. It's my my first main stage show as a director. So I am so thrilled to have this excellent cast to work with. We have amazing designers. We've got Summer Berry doing our costume design and David Baker as our set and lighting designer. And it's so great to work with them. But I've done other directing things in the local Spokane area. Mm-hmm. I had the privilege of being here last year talking about Emma at Stage Left and a few other things here and there.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're in the middle of directing, are you obsessed by it? Do you wake up in the middle of the night with ideas?
Are you saying, do I have anxiety dreams? Well, I definitely think it encompasses my brain in a huge way. I work full time, and so I'm sure these folks as well, everyone, we've got our own day jobs. Mm-hmm. But it does. It really takes up a lot of my brain space wanting to make a good show and wanting to work with these actors to pull out those character nuances and to really discover those relationships. So I spend a lot of time researching in advance, working with my designers, making sure we're on track for what we want it to look like and what it to feel like. And then we spend so much time working with these fabulous actors and to pull out their characters and to help them discover, because really that's the excellent work that they bring forth. And it's an interesting relationship, so I am privileged to have that.
Yeah. And Dave Rideout, you do, you are a highly desired actor around here, I'll say that about you, and so you get to kind of decide what you're going to do in a year. How many plays do you aim for, and how deep do you try to get in within
your
life?
I don't know. I seem to have averaged about three plays a year, and that works pretty well for me. I'm an empty nester, so now I have lots of time. That's why I'm really impressed with what the rest of the cast is doing, and Jennifer with her four young daughters at home. It's just amazing to me that people can get this kind of project done. But I do kind of, map out the year and look at what my schedule is like and what shows really interest me. And when I looked at this year, I have to say, I decided that Cactus Flower was the thing I wanted to do most. It just seemed like such a great, fun show. I have some memories of this play was actually turned into a movie with Walter Matthau and Goldie Hawn. Goldie Hawn won an Academy Award for it. And I had some memories of the basic outline of the play. And when I read it, and the other thing was I had done this show. This was the first show I did at the Civic Theater 14 years ago. I did it as a reader's theater, and I played the role of Igor, the younger the beatnik, that character. For some reason now I find him to be irritating, but 14 years ago I thought the play was about him. But so I did this show as a reader's theater 14 years ago, and this is the kind of thing I like to do, is to revisit a show from a different perspective. It's been I just love theater. We come together as a family and we build and create art. And And then sadly, at the end of it, we move on to other things. Mm-hmm. But it's this amazing circle of life for me as an actor.
Yeah. That's Cactus Flower opening this Friday. And then next week, we'll have the downstairs civic people in for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf for another very different aspect of relationships and the human condition. Thank you all for coming in, Dave Rideout, Jennifer Miles, and Jessica Loomer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.